Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be finishing up Vayikra with Parshas Vayikra Aliyah Shvi. The topic of our Aliyah is guilt offerings. It runs from Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Ada to Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Chav Vav, which is a sum total of 16 psukim altogether. Let's take a look at the topic of our Aliyah inside and then some basic points to ponder. We hear about what's called the Korban Asham. This is a new type of sacrifice. The Asham sacrifice. I'll get to what it means in a second. We hear about three different versions of the Korban Asham. It is, yes, the first part of the Aliyah, the first few psukim, are actually the end of the Korban Ola V'Yored, which is the lowest form of this Korban Chatas, the sacrifice which is made from a steak, and that this is the meal offering brought as the lowest form of the Korban Ola V'Yored, the variable sacrifice. However, starting from Pasuk Yudalet, we hear about three different types of Asham. The first one's called an Asham Me'ila. This is when a person commits the sin of Me'ila by mistake. What is Me'ila? Me'ila is when a person misappropriates that which should be belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikodshei Hashem. So in a situation like that, a person by mistake misappropriates Hashem's property, then they have to bring a Korban Asham Me'ila. The second one, which is discussed in our earlier, is from Pasuk Perikei Pasuk Yud Zayin, is what's called an Asham Toli. It literally means a dependent Asham. So this is a person who really doesn't know, which means to say that he is unsure whether he should bring a Korban Chatas or not. He didn't know if he transgressed by mistake to warrant a Korban Chatas. And finally, the last paragraph of our parasha, which is from Pasuk Chaf onwards, is what's called an Asham Gezela. This Asham sacrifice brought for somebody who has stolen, and then when brought to court, then ultimately swore. If he takes somebody else's thing, he finds a lost object, and then he swears that he doesn't, and then he admits in such a situation that he has to return the object itself, and he has to pay an extra fifth of a penalty, and he has to bring a korban asham as well. So three of the various ashamas are talked about in our Aliyah. So a few basic questions to ponder is, first of all, how many types of asham are there, asham sacrifices? So we've seen three in our Aliyah. It's worthwhile noting, scattered across the rest of the Torah, there are another three somewhat less frequent cases. One's what's called an asham metzara, a person who is in the purification process from leprosy. Another one is a asham shifach charuf, a person who had a relationship with a betrothed bondswoman. And an asham nazir, a nazir who has been defiled and must restart his nazirus. In that case, he also brings an asham. So those are somewhat scattered around the rest of the Torah as well. What is the function? What does an asham actually mean? So the typical translation of what an asham is the word guilt. It is a guilt offering. So we see this elsewhere in the Torah. This appears in numerous times where the word asham, ashamim anachnu, the brothers say about their selling of Yosef. The asham means guilty. The Ramban explains that perhaps it doesn't mean guilty, but rather it comes from the word shamim, which means desolate or destroyed. Which means to say, the Ramban says that these particular sins are ones which would warrant a punishment of absolute desolation or destruction. The person has put themselves in a compromised state of affairs, that this is worse. In fact, the Ramban therefore says that all the karbanos which are described, or the karban ashram, are more severe than a karban chatas, than a regular sin offering over here. This is not a mistake. This is a mistake which has an impression. Why does it leave an impression? Very hard to pinpoint this, but one aspect of it is the idea that it's not just enough to say, sorry, it's not just enough to say, well, I'm going to repair, I'm going to return the object that I stole, I'm going to return the hektesh that I took from the Beis HaMikdash and misappropriated it. It doesn't work like that, because clearly there's a real issue. There's certain things which just can't be unsaid in life. This is something which was done, which showed a dent in the relationship, which requires a greater form of atonement, which is the Korban Asham as well. It's worthwhile noting that in the last section, where a person steals, denies, swears, and then admits, in that case, they have to bring an ashram. It's interesting because here you have a very unusual gathering of ideas. On the one hand, you have a person who committed a sin against their friend in society, and yet on the other hand, they are bringing a korban to Hashem. So why is that? Why is it you bring a korban for a social crime in this particular instance? So if we look into the Tosefta, which is the additional, it's all the Tanatic teachings over beyond the Mishnah in Maseches Shavuos Perek Gimel Pasuk Halacha or Tosefta. Hey, There's a teaching of Rabbi of Hananiah ben Chachinai. He quotes our pasuk, and he says the following. He says a following observation. He says the following. He says v'kichesh b'amisoi ein adam koifer b'amisoi ad shekoifer be'ikar. That a person will not deny or make a denial in a social crime against their neighbor unless they're denying Hashem. What Rabbi Hananiah ben Chachinai is addressing is that somehow in a social crime there is a theological issue. That it's not just that a person randomly steals, that if a person is going to steal, something in their relationship with the Almighty is missing and lacking. The Tosefta goes on to describe Pam Achas, Shavas Rabbi Ruvain Betaveria. There was a certain Rabbi Ruvain, who it's an unusual name for those in the time, but Rabbi Ruvain was in Tveria. Matzu Philosoph, and a certain philosopher came over to him and said, Omaloi, Ezehu Shonui Sheba Olam. So Shonui Sheba Olam, who's the most hated or despised in society? Omaloi, he responded by saying, Zea Koifer Bimi Sheba Oi, a person who denies his own creator. So the philosopher was puzzled. That's the worst person in society. I mean, after all, let's sort of deepen the puzzlement here. A person who is religiously apathetic, agnostic. In the end of the day, if they live in a good society, they don't play loud music, they don't steal, they don't lie, they pay their taxes, they do everything necessary for society. That's the worst person in society. Why is a person who denies their creator so bad? So he goes on to explain, he goes on to explain all these commandments in the Aseret HaDibros. And says Rabbi Reuven, in explaining to the philosopher that we cannot arrive at the second tablet of the two tablets, which is the social dimension of the law of Judaism, unless we have the higher order and the higher calling of the first dimension, which is the first of the tablets. And therefore, society will only fall apart in social fabric when it's lacking the higher calling. Think about this for a second. It's a very powerful observation. If you look back to different revolutions that were had in the world, the revolutions which did not have God as part of the picture, and yes, there were many terrible wars fought in their own religion and many lives spilled on the altar of one religion over another. But if you look at the religion, the revolutions that were absent of religion, and you look at the carnage which followed in the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, the Chinese Revolution, if you think about the societies or that bore such revolutions, it really is pretty terrifying to understand and appreciate the difference between a religious society and an irreligious society. A society which only cares about keeping safe, and a society which has a higher calling and a moral calling. What the parsha ends off by saying is that it's not enough just to wash one's hands, return the stolen object, and even pay a fine. That's not enough. It's to recognize that in that social crime resides a theological issue. And unless the theological issue is going to be addressed, in this case by a Korban Asham, then it's never going to really go away and it's never going to be fixed by itself. That's the perspective of the last Korban Asham in our parsha. With this, we conclude the parsha. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbos.